It's Tuesday, the day we read from your emails, and many of you responded to our conversation last week about friendly fire in combat, why it happens, how it can be prevented, and whether families get the information they need. Douglas Harvey, a listener in Michigan, is a veteran of World War II and emailed to tell us, "If I had been killed by our own weapons, I would not have wanted this reported to my family. Why add this to their grief? I agree with the services to keep this from families, if possible. Report all casualties as killed in action while engaging the enemy. Perhaps only persons with combat experience will be able to understand this." Another listener, Steve, in Memphis, disagreed. "Friendly fire is an unfortunate reality of war. However," he wrote, "it is guaranteed that mistakes will be repeated if those awful lessons learned by friendly fire incidents are suppressed, denied, and disappeared." We also talked with Ayan Hirsi Ali last week about her controversial life, her autobiography, and what led to her rejection of Islam. Farah Berendt responded, "I am a Muslim woman born and raised in the United States, and I feel that Islam has given women more rights than any other religion. If one were to read the Quran, one would easily come to this realization. It is unfortunate that the guest has had such terrible experiences." Last Wednesday, we talked about the pros and cons of the HPV, or human papilloma virus, vaccine. The virus is the main cause of cervical cancer in women and the most commonly sexually transmitted infection in the U.S. Andrea Austin emailed her support for the vaccine. "A common dissension is the idea that the vaccine will encourage premarital sex. That may have been a valid argument when the birth control pill was introduced, but never in my life have I heard of anyone abstaining from sex because of the fear of getting HPV or cancer. Women and young girls need all the protection they can get." Another listener is not so sure. "I have a young daughter," wrote Melinda McPhillips, "and have no intention of giving her this vaccine. Who knows what the long-term effects are of this vaccine on a young child's physical and reproductive development? Further, the fact that this vaccine may be mandated by the government, I find even more abhorrent." The advertising team at Snickers got a mouthful after their ad during the Super Bowl. The commercial, a spoof of the famous Lady and the Tramp spaghetti scene, showed two men accidentally touch lips after eating the same candy bar. They recoil and try various manly things, including in one version of the ad, one guy throwing a wrench at the other. Jeff Yu emailed from Buffalo, New York, to complain, "Would slamming a woman's head on the hood of a car be funny? Last time I checked, violence against people perceived as gay is all too real." And after all the argument and controversy, Stephanie Noble just wanted to know, how did the Snickers taste? Point taken. Finally, we got this email from a listener in Nashville, Tennessee. It wouldn't be the same if I just read it, so we'll let him take it from here.
Dear Talk of the Nation, do your listeners ever put lyrics to your theme music, or am I the only one? Here's my version. Banana split, banana split. Why do you call to me? Banana split, banana split. Banana split. Yours in weirdness, Jeff Davidson.
Wow. No, Jeff, I'm not sure. I think that may be a first for this program, and thanks for being such a good sport. If anyone else has lyrics, comments, questions, or corrections for us, the best way to reach us is by email. The address, talk@npr.org. Just let us know where you're writing from and give us some help on how to pronounce your name.